You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchin. It's Friday, June 27th. The Napa School District plans to open a new special needs classroom at Hilda Lady Elementary School next year. The new classroom adds to a county-wide program aimed at increasing access for students by pooling resources between school districts. Historically, 3 of the 5 special needs classrooms in Clatsop County have been housed in the Astoria School District. The other 2 classrooms, including 1 high needs classroom, have been hosted at Warrenton Grade School. Starting in September, the high needs classroom will move to Napa. Napa Superintendent Bill Fritz says the conversation among Clatsop County superintendents about a potential transfer began earlier this year. One consideration for the move was physical space. The Napa School District has faced declining enrollment, while the Warrenton-Hammond School District's enrollment has remained relatively steady. Another consideration was leadership capacity. Warrenton-Hammond Special Education Director Suzanne Harris submitted her resignation earlier this year. Fritz says his district is looking to hire additional support staff for the new classroom before the next school year begins. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian. Read more online at dailyastorian.com. Worried about public safety and the health of shoreline ecosystems, the Manzanita City Council asked the state to change rules about driving on the beach earlier this year. Last week, the Oregon Parks and Recreation Commission did just that and unanimously approved new driving restrictions for a stretch of beach near Manzanita. Previously, the ocean shore had been open to vehicles from 7 a.m. to noon from October 1st to April 30th. Now, driving will only be allowed by permit to people who need to launch boats. Steve Godino is one of those people. A recreational dorryman, he has used the Manzanita Beach to launch his dory boat to fish for everything from salmon to ling cod.
It's good to have options for, again, safe access to our fisheries and the coastal waters.
He and other dorymen spoke out against the driving restrictions, and Godino still has concerns about the permit process going forward. The new driving restrictions go into place October 1st. The city and the state plan to work together to develop the permit. The fireworks ban in the city of Long Beach first went into effect last year, but Long Beach city officials and Washington State Parks are still trying to agree on the exact boundary line for enforcing the ban. For roughly the last decade, the Long Beach western city boundary had been understood as the grass line on the primary dune. Now, city officials are adhering to the mean water line, essentially high tide, which is a constantly moving target. At a city council workshop last week, Long Beach Police Chief Flint Wright questioned how his department should enforce the city's fireworks ban on the areas of the beach west of the grass line, and he said he was against adopting additional fireworks restrictions for his officers to enforce just a few weeks before the busy 4th of July weekend. Long Beach City Councilors said a reader board sign will be used to inform the public about not using fireworks in a 100-foot buffer zone west of the dune. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer, online at chinookobserver.com. At a meeting last week, the Garibaldi City Council approved significant raises to the city's water and sewer utility rates, and also established a new street maintenance fee in the city's adopted budget for the 2026 fiscal year. Garibaldi City Manager Jake Boone had originally proposed the new fee at $19 per month per property, but at last week's meeting, he shifted it down to $10 monthly. Former Garibaldi mayors Judy Riggs and Tim Hall spoke at the meeting, questioning the city's budgeting process and fee increases. Hall questioned why Boone and Garibaldi's finance manager were receiving cost-of-living-based pay increases when they were not union employees and the city's finances were so dire as to require the drastic cost increases to citizens. Garibaldi city councilors also shared similar concerns, but ultimately agreed that the increases and new fee were necessary. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. This past weekend marked the longest day of the year, summer solstice. NWPB's senior correspondent, Courtney Flatt, went to a celebration of the sun and the natural world at 4:45 in the morning.
A sliver of moon is still high in the sky, just minutes before a sunrise ceremony is set to begin at a replica Stonehenge.
Morning.
Tea lights mark the gravel walkway and illuminate the stones. As people enter the circle, soft guitar music sets the tone. They select flower crowns and noisemakers to help ring in the sunrise. This replica monument is in the Columbia River Gorge. That's right, not the United Kingdom. It's actually built to look like the original Stonehenge before it became ruins.
The place is so iconic. I mean, it's above the Columbia River on this plateau, which is just amazing, grand view.
That's Seattle resident David Lee. He organized the event. Lee says this particular ceremony includes all religions and groups.
It's taking the solstice kind of out of the pure hippie thing and making it more mainstream.
Historians theorize solstice celebrations at the original Stonehenge also might have been more mainstream. The Reverend Kirk Thomas is a senior priest with the Unreacht famed Druid religion.
The sun is used to mark the various seasons of the year. Well, in the old days, it was about when to plant, when to harvest, when to bring the cattle back from the hills, you know, when to slaughter.
His white robe whips in the wind.
We love this. Modern Druids do. It's a repository of energy, a repository of power. And it's fun to do a ritual inside it.
This replica Stonehenge is really a World War I memorial. It was built by Samuel Hill. He built a hilltop mansion on land he'd hoped would be a Quaker farming community. When that didn't work out, a friend convinced him to turn the mansion into a museum, nearly 100 years ago. This is the first year the museum has organized a solstice celebration. The celebrations have gone on here for decades. Thomas stands at the center of the circle and rings a bell. And with that, the ceremony begins. As the sun nears the horizon, Thomas leads the group in a single note. The note rises in pitch with the sun.
Intonation is the actual musical term for it. It's also the Druid buzz. It's just you make a sound, a note, like, and you just keep doing it until you run out of air and immediately fill up again.
People lean against the stones or stand in a nearby field. They solemnly watch the horizon. Then finally, the sun breaks the skyline over what's called the Heelstone, just outside the Stonehenge Circle.
And the idea behind it is that when the sun rises, it kind of sits on top of the stone. It's not exactly perfect and right.
The alignment is a tad off. That doesn't matter because, true to a northwest morning, the clouds blanket the horizon and block out the full sunrise. Lee says he still feels the importance of the solstice, millennia after people originally celebrated.
The sun is what unites us all. I mean, the warmth in our body, I think, comes from the sun. All of our food comes from the sun. So I think it's a great way to tie people together because without the sun, we wouldn't be here.
Museum leaders say they hope to continue solstice celebrations in the future. I'm Courtney Flatt, reporting As the Sun Rises.
You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you will always be able to find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at kmun.org.